On this very happy day, we welcome you all to the commencement ceremony for the year 2014 for Boyce College. We look out upon these graduates with great pride and satisfaction and hope. We look out at all those who are gathered here with a sense that this is a shared project and that there's hardly a person who could be in this room who has not had a share in what is being celebrated here. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we'll turn to His Word, as I would ask you to turn with me in the book of Ecclesiastes to chapter 3. One of the most familiar passages to all of us in the church, and yet one that is often misunderstood. Beginning in verse 1 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace." Now, I say this is often taken out of context. You often hear it even in a secular context where people speak of it as if it's some kind of wisdom of the cycles of history or merely the seasons of time, something like singing sunrise, sunset, just as time rolls on, a time for this and a time for that. Of course, the ultimate biblical testimony to the meaning of the preceding verses is found in verses 14 and following, looking particularly at verse 14. "I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him." There's a lot in the background to this, the permanence and, in fact, eternal character of what God does compared with the incredible finitude and passingness of all that we do and all that we touch and all that we are. Of course, there is more here, but I would direct us to the last couplet in terms of this rather well-known expression, "A time for war and a time for peace." 69 years ago at this hour, this very hour, 69 years ago, the streets of downtown Louisville were filled with people. They emptied their offices and went out into the streets. 69 years ago this very hour in New York City, the streets were filled such that traffic was stopped in every single direction. Similarly, in other capitals of the world, most particularly in Washington and in London. This very hour in New York, as the streets were filled with people, an iconic photograph was taken, many of you will remember, of a sailor who simply seemed to have grabbed a passing young woman in order to give her a kiss in a spirit of national celebration, something that would be ill-advised today, but nonetheless became an iconic photograph. The spirit of euphoria and thanksgiving was such that everyone considered everyone fair game, evidently, for a hug or a kiss. In London, George VI and his family and Winston Churchill, for the first time in the history of Britain, a non-royal appeared on the balcony of Buckingham Palace to greet the people in a spirit of celebration. Why? Because earlier this morning in Europe, the forces of the Third Reich had surrendered to the Allies. There was a before and an after on that morning, 69 years ago today, in the United States. It seemed palpable. It was so clear that the afternoon editions of the New York City newspapers concerned themselves with plans for peace. just hours after the most massive military mobilization in the history of humanity had been at full pace. How can you pivot like that? How can you go from the biggest theater of war that human beings have ever seen to an afternoon of planning for peace? It's because it was, at least in the sense of the end of that horrifying conflict, some of you will remember, it was a time for peace. But it had been a time for war. We often look at a passage like this, and even the secular folks love it because it appears like poetry. And so the greeting card companies will make use of this, and politicians will make use of this text, and others will make reference to it in order just to say, time is important, and we recognize there are times for this and times for that, and there must be times in between. What Christians often do not fully understand in looking at this text is not only does it identify these couplets, these polarities, a time, as he says, to weep and a time to laugh, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to be born and a time to die. It's not only clear that there is a change in these times, it's also clear that at any given moment we are in one of these times or the other. And we are to know the signs of the times. The graduating class of Boyce College for the year 2014 is being delivered unto the world and released out into the world this day by the commencement of a college in a specific time. We are here meeting in the month of May in the year 2014. Is it a time to weep or is it a time to laugh? Is it a time to plant or is it a time to reap? Is it a time of war or is it a time of peace? In a very real sense, it is not a time of peace. As this class of graduates of Boyce College of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary is being sent out into the world, they're being sent out when virtually everything that we believe is of vital importance, everything we believe that is eternally true, everything that we believe on the basis of God's word contributes to human flourishing, everything we believe that is fundamental to civilization, everything we believe about the truth of the gospel is increasingly hated by the world. This is not a time of peace. The Bible warns against those who cry, peace, peace, and there is no peace. It is true, we are the servants, the followers of the Prince of Peace. And we must always be those who seek peace and, where it is possible, make peace. But it is unfaithfulness to decry and to declaim without naming properly what it is we face. It is unfaithfulness to deny that there is war when we are called to war. I can only imagine the sense of relief that must have passed across people in free countries 69 years ago today. There were mothers and fathers who recognized that they would now not have to give their sons to war. There were those who realized that there would be no further battles with those horrifying battle reports coming in, at least from the European theater. They realized that the big issue now was how their sons would come home rather than to be plucked out of their homeland and sent across the world to make the world safe for a moment. We're in one of those transitional moments. Just consider what is happening on some of the most important and urgent moral issues of the day. Just consider where we are in terms of even a societal understanding of truth. Just understand where we are at a time when the secularization that is experienced now in the United States is beginning very quickly to catch up with the secularization that already marks so much of the European continent. The aftermath, by the way, of that war that ended 69 years ago today, the aftermath included the rapid acceleration of the loss of Christian faith and belief in Europe. The secularization of that continent and of that society began to spread with increased velocity and venom. in the aftermath of war. Peace was declared, but it wasn't a peace that would last. It wasn't a peace that would pass all understanding. Now, 69 years later, in an ironic twist in chronology and history, we find ourselves in a room. And I want you to know I am very thankful that we are not sending these young graduates of Boyce College out into that kind of a theater of war. And 69 years later, we should be thankful for that. Mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and all should be thankful that it is not into that kind of warfare they are now being sent. But as we are gathered here, we do need to see them as the mobilizing of a great army. The kind of army that was foreseen even in that text from Ezekiel that was read this morning. An army being sent out not with the weapons of physical warfare, but with the weapons of spiritual warfare, as Paul described them to the Ephesians. I know you're encouraged by being here. I speak these words not to discourage us about the times, but to affirm just how important it is that these graduates have spent years of their lives in preparation for something that is bigger than themselves. That affirms why the kind of Christian education that is represented by Boyce College, the comprehensive commitment to the faith once for all delivered to the saints, the intensity, the academic rigor, why all of these things are important. We recognize them this morning because these graduates are not being sent out into a world of placid peace, but into a world in which they will join an army of the faithful. Not in a spirit of belligerence, but in a spirit of gospel love. Not in order to take up weapons of physical warfare, but in order to be armed with the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of truth, the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. Look at all of this and you recognize this day is even more important than we thought. And so 69 years ago, the streets of Louisville were filled, and the streets of New York City and Washington and London and so many other capital cities and then small towns in America, everything came to a standstill in order that people could say something we'll remember the rest of our lives happened today. We don't want to forget this. We don't want to miss this. There are commencement ceremonies taking place all over America, and indeed no shortage of them today. Some of you in this room may have had invitations to more than one graduation ceremony this weekend. But I dare say this one is different than the rest. For we are not sending out these graduates wishing them to have happy, peaceful careers. We're not sending them out saying, "This is your generation and your time. Seize the day and live it with gusto." We're not saying go out, make a lot of money, and get rich and endow your alma mater. Well, we're about to say that. No, that's not what we do. That's not who we are. We're saying go out and know what time it is and be ready for the time that God has made you, the time to which He has called you. It was said of the tribe of Issachar of Israel that the men of Issachar knew the signs of the times. That's great. But the most important thing about them was what was said next. And they understood what Israel was to do. It may be true that the graduates of Boyce College, especially those who graduate today on this day in 2014, young men and young women, now being released out into the world, will know the signs of the times and will understand what Israel is to do. Amen.